대한민국 정부 성명 세용의 대륙간 탄도로켓 시험 발사 성공.
Welcome to Window on North Korea, an attempt to humanize our image of everyday North Koreans with the help of defectors now living in South Korea and elsewhere. Given the role of North Korea in international geopolitics these days, it is important to have more than the two-dimensional impression we get from the mainstream media of this seemingly inscrutable country. I am Fran Callaher, your host. In this episode, I will share some of the personal story of one of the contributors to the Ask a North Korean feature from the website nknews.org. Ask a North Korean invites questions from readers about life in North Korea. Mr. Park Yi-sung is one of several contributors to this feature, and in November he introduced himself to readers. I'll be mostly quoting from his article with a short paraphrase or two. Park Yi-sung's article from Ask a North Korean. I still remember the summer I first witnessed death. I was 7 years old. At the time, there was a rumor in town that this year even the mice will die of hunger. No writing can express how scared I was as a child hearing this, but with luck, I was able to survive the starvation and cholera that took so many lives that spring, summer, and fall. I want to begin my first article for NK News talking about destiny. Currently, there are 30,805 North Korean defectors settled in South Korea. Of those, 71% are women, and 80% are from areas that border China. Looking at the statistics, what are the chances that a man in his 20s, who is not from a region that borders China, could successfully defect? And what are the chances that one might turn on the TV in a coastal region in North Korea and get a TV signal from South Korea? The chances are lower than winning a lottery. When I reflect on my childhood, even under risky situations, I was always accompanied by good luck. Throughout my youth, I lived in a remote fishing village where to get to the post office, you had to climb two hills. The place that people said was the end of the world, for me, was the entire world. The endless waters of the Pacific Ocean were my safe haven and also a place where my dreams were cultivated. When I look back to those times when my friends and I would play on the beach under the scorching sun, I pity the South Korean kids spending most of their days locked up in hagwons, or private academies. The reason I was able to escape from countryside life was my parents' passion for education. From high school until I went to college, my mother supported me. Even my father, who was usually reserved, was extremely happy when I was accepted into college. The reason I am here writing this all comes down to an incident about 10 years ago that made me realize that I wanted to defect. It all started with an old television in my dormitory. One day, out of boredom, I was flipping through television channels when I caught some static noise. Curious, I adjusted the antenna to get a better signal. It was Kangnung KBS, a South Korean channel. At first, I was scared and immediately turned off the TV. But a young boy's curiosity can withstand anything, even if it comes to dangerous consequences. I turned the television back on, and the more I watched the channel, the deeper I got into it. I couldn't believe that what I was seeing was how things really were in South Korea. From kindergarten, I was taught that North Korea was the most beautiful and the greatest country, and I was brainwashed into having negative perceptions about other countries. I tried to convince myself that what I was seeing on television was South Korea's way of luring North Korean citizens and that it was propaganda. But the dramas were exciting and caught my attention. Like watching a detective movie, it was thrilling. So the young Mr. Park continued to watch the South Korean television in secrecy when possible. And one night, the South Korean station was talking about how it was snowing in Seoul, and they mentioned the fact that buses, which would have been intercity buses, were being delayed because of the snow. And Mr. Park says to himself, "This can't be true. How is a bus being delayed such big news? In North Korea, express trains like South Korea's KTX get delayed for days constantly, and that was never a big deal." So I thought to myself once again that it was a lie. But in that moment, another thought occurred to me. What if I am seeing is all true? Why would they have reason to make all of this up? In that moment, I realized that what I had been seeing on television was all real. Then I thought to myself, if all the things I have been seeing are true, how nice is a country that has such developed systems? I wish I could study in a country like that. I got more serious about defecting when I got to college. I studied very hard to get into college, but I was very disappointed when I got there. It was not really about learning, but about ideology. It was authoritarian in nature and essentially like army life. I had imagined college life was full of freedom and passion, but it was all a fantasy. The gap between my expectations and the reality only made me think more about what I saw on South Korean television. I made up my mind to go to South Korea and study there. In my fourth year of college, I went to the border. I spent some time looking for a broker, all the while trying to avoid getting caught by the state. Crossing the Amnok River, which we know as the Yalu River, even though it was early winter, I couldn't feel the coldness of the water. I just remember feeling refreshed as the water's thin ice touched my ankle. But all the anxiety I had repressed while I was crossing into China began to emerge as I got near the border with Laos. Before crossing, I had to wait there for a week. It sucked everything out of me. In this situation, anyone would want to cross as soon as possible, but when it was my turn to cross, I decided to delay my crossing. I had a bad feeling. Nobody understood why. 2 days later, I heard the news that defectors were caught in China. The people that were caught were those who had taken my place. The coldness of the water in Amnok River was nothing compared to the chills that ran down my back when I heard the news. Instinct had allowed me to live. After miracle upon miracle, I arrived in South Korea. But there were also painful moments there. Was all of this destined for me? If I really think about it, on the other side of my destiny, there are so many who have suffered an unfortunate fate. While I was able to survive cholera and starvation, there were so many who died. While I was able to obtain freedom, there are still 25 million North Koreans deprived of it. Current news on North Korea is all about Kim Jong-un, dictatorship, poverty, nuclear weapons, and terror. The media is always interested in North Korea's missile provocations or shocking news. Inevitably, this creates only a dark image of the country. People across the world probably think North Korea is hell and people are unhappy there. But this is a misperception that comes from news that focuses only on one aspect of life in North Korea. Throughout my writing, I want to change this. North Korea, to me, is a place of warmth and beauty, just as how you imagine your homeland to be. People across the world pity North Koreans, but you will come to realize that people in North Korea are like you. There are young people who care about justice with deep passion and sharp intelligence. Their hope for justice carries courage that goes beyond life and death, and their passion surpasses any status or hierarchy. Their intelligence can penetrate any information firewall. Well, that is quite an expression of hope there at the end of Mr. Park's submission. I hope he's right. I wanted to make a couple of remarks about the content of his article. You should appreciate the fact that accessing any South Korean media in North Korea is highly punishable, and he was taking great risk by watching the South Korean television. People are sent to political prison camps, or even in some cases face death for accessing South Korean media. Of course, it's not easy to access South Korean media, but that is changing these days. More about that another time. And it's true that a person could get into a lot of trouble in South Korea for accessing North Korean media, thanks to their national security law. That was the case for most of the history of the division of the peninsula. I think the penalties are not as severe presently as they were in the past, but it's still a very sensitive matter in South Korea as well. Also, once he crossed the Yalu River into China, it didn't mean he was home free. Depending on the political climate at a given time, the Chinese are variously diligent about capturing North Korean defectors and returning them to North Korea. Having even attempted an escape to China is another offense punishable by political prison camp and or death. Thus, his travel through China to Laos to ultimately reach safety in South Korea. Again, I've been reading from Ask a North Korean on the website nknews.org. Some of Mr. Park's story reinforces the very negative images that we have of North Korea, but that expression of hope at the end and his desire to expand our vision of North Korea, to show us that it's a place of warmth and beauty and people who care about justice. I think his passion is inspiring, and although it wasn't the impetus for this series, it could well have been. The subject we'll be treating in the future, some of them are of a much lighter nature. Questions like, do North Korean women smoke? Do they wear high heels? What is the abortion rate in North Korea? Where do they get their hair cut? Do they have a notion of being cool in North Korea? And if so, what does that mean there? And I invite you to explore the site, nknews.org. It is a subscription service. Another website, dailynk.com, is also a good source of news within North Korea, many things that affect North Koreans' lives beyond the international news of which we hear so much. Tune in again next Saturday and most Saturdays during the Saturday morning mix at 10 a.m. for this window on North Korea.